Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. This week we have the opportunity to read two sedges once again, Behar and B'chukosai. And I'd just like to focus really on one word. That's the opening pasuk of the second sedja, Imukosai Telech. I think this was one. You may find this it's helpful or not. It doesn't matter. I'll get through everything, but try and go through some of the major points. Parakovav pasuk gimel Imukosai Telechu. That's mitzvos es mitzvos haTishmeru sisem osam. We're told, here's what's going to happen if we observe the chukim and the mitzvahs, and the sedra goes on to describe some of the physical rewards that are going to happen to us, we're going to gain if we follow the mitzvahs, and then the famous tocha, the first of the two tochas in the Torah, the long aliyah, which has all the punishments, which you don't. But right away we see in this pasuk two descriptions of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the word b'chukosai, chukim. That's one type of a commandment. And then there's mitzvosai. Mitzvahs is a second type of commandment. Is there any difference between chukim and mitzvahs? Some of us know this already. Earlier in the Torah, way back in Parshas Toldos, Yitzhak Avinu was told that he's going to get a bracha in the merit of his father Avram. And Perkov Vav Abrashis Pasuk in the second source, it says, Ekev, Shoshoma Avim, Bekoliva, Yishmor, Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Vesoros, a whole bunch of different words describing mitzvahs. What's the difference in all these words? They're just synonymous, just different expressions. So we know the Chazal have that each one of these words represent a different type of a mitzvah. Rashi there in Parashat told us, in Perkhov of Bereshit Pasuk Kain, the third source, mitzvosai, mitzvahs refer to dvorim she'ilo nichtavu ru'uin ha'imut tzavos k'on gezel shvichas domen. There are certain things that even if the Torah wouldn't have legislated one way or the other, but a civilized society would come up with certain laws. We have such a concept of the social contract. Civilized countries have certain laws that they come up with, even if it wouldn't be in the Torah. So Rashi says, mitzvosai. And again, we can apply the same thing to the Pasuk in our study, in B'chukosai, back in Source 1. Aves mitzvosai, tishmor, mitzvos refer to those commandments which are logical, which make sense, which a civilized society, even though they wouldn't be written in the Torah. For example, not to murder, not to steal. You can't have a society if people murder each other, people steal from each other. So even if the Torah wouldn't have mentioned it, we would have had those, would have understood on our own to come up with those mitzvos. Chukosai, the next Rashi says, in Source 3, there in Parshas Toldos, Dvarim she'etzahara v'umos olam meshivin aleihem. There are certain things which the Eitzahara challenge. What do you have to observe? It makes no sense. Or other nations wonder why we have such mitzvahs. For example, mentions here, Rashi, kagon achilas chazir, right, eating pork. What's the problem eating pork? Why is it different than eating beef? People talked about trichinosis and this and that, but it's not documented. Plenty of people eat pork and live nice long lives. So that's not a logical mitzvah we would have come up with on our own. Or kagon levisha shatnei, that we can't wear garments made out of wool and linen. Why not? What's the problem? That's not an obvious mitzvah. Shein tam bedover, there doesn't seem to be a logical reason other than elekzeres hamelech. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu decreed. And those are the laws that he made, and that's it. So those are the two different, in our pasuk, that's chukosai, b'chukosai telechu. Chukim refer to those mitzvahs which are not really understandable from a simple logical perspective, and that's chukim. And mitzvahs are those mitzvahs which we would come up with on our own. And a couple of weeks ago, we learned Parshas Achrimos, to there, in Perek Yurches of Ayikra, source number 4, pasuk Dals, es mishpatai ta'asuva, es chukosai tishmeru again, chukim I mentioned, and this time mishpatim is mentioned. It doesn't contrast mitzvahs with chukim, but mishpatim, and Rashi says again over there in Achrimos, more or less the same idea, as he said and told us in the source number 5, in Perek Yurches of Ayikra, pasuk Dals, mishpatai ta'asu, elu dvarm hamurim betar b'mishpat, she'ilo lo nemru, hayu kedai lo man. Again, even if they weren't written in the Torah, we don't understand why they'd be written. And chukosai, again, they're actually more or less the same idea, dvarm shem gzeres hamelech. They're simply divine decrees, and that's it. It doesn't give us any reason for it. He gives an example of, again, eating pork. Levisha Shatnei mentions Taras Mechatas. It's the Paraduma process. So these are things which are don't make a whole lot of simple sense to us. Rashi got this from the Sifra, that's the Medrash Halacha, in Achimos Parash Tetz, Perk Yud Gimel, in Os Yud, and 6. The same idea. It mentions other things there also. Mentions Kilayim, again, Shatnei, but Chalitza. What kind of process is that? Chalitza, you know, if you don't want to marry the widow, you have to have a whole spit on the floor and so on. And Taras HaMetzora, the whole process of Metzora. These are things which are not intuitive necessarily. Or Sori Mishtaleach, right? In Kippur, you have to push the goat off the cliff. All these are unusual things, which we do because the Torah says so. But they wouldn't, and people wonder, they make fun of us, so they challenge us. So that's the idea of the difference between Chukim and Mishpatim. Probably the Chukim and Mitzvahs. We're equating Mitzvahs and Mishpatim. There's fine line differences there too, but not for tonight. So I guess the famous Chuk is those Chukas HaTorah, right? In Parshas Chukas. Perek Yutas of Bemidbar, Sukkim Alav Beis, those Chukas HaTorah. And again, Rashi, they said, why is it called Chukas HaTorah? That's introducing the story of the Parah Aduma. So Rashi says, in Pasuk Beis, those Chukas HaTorah, in Source 8, Lefisha Satan, Umos Olam, Monin Es Yisrael. they complain and they challenge us about it. Ma mitzvazos? What's ma tam yeshbo? Leficha kosuba chuka. Chuka, so chok is gzer himofanai, it's a gzer. It's a divine decree. It's a, the word lechakek means to etch in, to engrave. It's something engraved in our system, so to speak, we can't challenge it. And I quoted two Medrash Tanchumas from Parshas Chukas. One is in Siman Zion, source 9, right? And he says a whole bunch of other examples. Okay, and the examples there are mitzvahs which have inherent contradictions. So look in the source on the Medrash Tanchum, Parshas Chukas, Siman Zion. It's quoted to Yeshua the Sichtan, and he says, Eishasach, you're not allowed to marry the wife of your brother. Okay, that's one of the arayas. You can't marry your brother's wife. But if he dies, there's no children, not only can marry him, you have to marry him. A minute ago it was aser, now suddenly becomes a mitzvah. Or again, kilayim. Right? Kilayim is shatnez, and I wear wool and linen together. But in tzitzis, if you have the actual tchelis and so on, you can wear wool and linen together. Something, you know, again, it doesn't make any sense, ostensibly. Or it mentions paraduma. The whole paraduma process is that the people, the guy was tamei, now becomes tar, but the people in the process, they become tummy. So again, these are all, that's how the Medrash goes on to say. And you know, again, the Sar Mashalech brings about Kapora and Yom Kippur, but the person who takes the Sar out to the wilderness over there, he becomes tummy. You know, he's Matar all of Klai, so he becomes tummy. These are things which are kind of counterintuitive. Okay? And that's why it's called the Chukah, like I mentioned before, the Medrash Tanchum and Siman Ches in Parshas Chukah says in 10, Ela Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Chukah Chakakti Gzera Gazarati, this is the way I want it, and that's it, and that's those Chukahs HaTorah. So that's how the Medrash explains it. The truth is, the Gemara as well, in Yuma, Samazayin and Rebbeis in Source 11, Tanar Abanan, Es Mishpotai Tasu, that's the Pasuk in Achrimos, Dvarim She'el Mole Nichtavu Dino Shichtu, Elohen Avodazora, Gerarayas, Shichas Domim, Gezel, Birkas Hashem, right? That you're not allowed to worship Avodazora, and you're not allowed to murder, and you're not allowed to steal, and you're not allowed to curse God. We understand all that, right? Again, now, the Gemara concludes there in Yuma Samazan and Beis 11. Shema Tomar Maisa Tohim. So you might conclude, why do I have to keep these things? They're astonishing. They're ridiculous. Why should I keep such a ridiculous rule? That's why it says, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Chikakti Bein Lachorishus, Lahara, but I haven't had the Rashi's there to explain it. Now, so therefore, we have this notion that there are certain mitzvahs which are readily understandable, and yet there are others which we don't understand why, and we have to keep them anyway. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Chof Aleph and Beis, Source 13. The Amr B'Yitzchak, Mipnei Ma Lo Nizgalu Tamei HaTorah. A good question. Why did the Torah simply give us the reason? There must be a reason. Because Baruch Hu has his reasons. We may not understand it. We may think these things are counterintuitive. We think they're inherently contradictory and so on. But at the end of the day, so why did the Torah give us the reasons? I said, good kasha. That's the Morris question, right? Lama lo nizgala 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 lo nizgala tamei Torah. Rashi there in Sanhedrin explains, Chof Aleph and Beis. Lo nizgala tamei Torah. Kagon lama nesu lo vishashatnes. Why talk is it all? And we don't know the reason, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have had a reason. It wasn't a random thing. And Achilas Chazer and so on. What's the reason? So why didn't the Torah tell us? So Gemara says, well, there are some mitzvahs, Shehari, back in 13, Shehari, Shtei Mikros nizgala tamon. There are some mitzvahs where the reason was revealed. Shlomo HaMelech got messed up because one of the mitzvahs where it gives the reason is that a king can't have more than X number of wives. It says, Lo yirbe lo noshim. Okay, and the reason seems to be because you have too many wives, so you'll end up marrying women who are not behaving properly and they'll lead you astray. And Shlomo HaMelech said, Omar Shema, Ani Arbe v'lo Asa, don't worry, I'm a wise person. I'll have more wives and I won't be led astray. What happened? We know. You can quote, Shlomo HaMelech was led astray. Same thing, having too many horses and so on, too many. So Shlomo HaMelech said, if the Torah would give me the reason for everything, everybody could figure out, well, here's why my case is an exception. You know, I spent many years as the head of a high school, so a lot of times you have meetings, not a lot of times, but many times you have meeting with parents and or other people advocating for a certain student. They say, Rabbi, I understand very much why this rule is in place, and it's a good rule, and I support the rule. Let me explain why my case is different. Right? That's, you know, here's why this is the difference. Okay, you're right. It's a wonderful rule to have on the books in a school, and I agree that you have to have these policies and so on. But let me explain why this case is different. So that's a common approach. Okay, many of us probably use that approach to our own children, Baruch Hashem. Okay, anyway, at the end of the day, that's why the Torah doesn't give reasons. But none other than the Rambam, in several places, most most notably the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, Parakhes Alachachas, 15, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the Rambam writes, Ro'oi la'odom lisbonein b'mishpatei ha'Torah kedosha v'leida sofu inyonam k'vikocho. It is proper for a person to investigate when it comes to him and try to the best of your ability to figure out why Taker is it such a mitzvah. Okay? You should do it. And of course, with the understanding that even if you don't get to the conclusion, you still have to observe the mitzvah. But the Rambam feels that it's the right thing to look into it. And he says, Me'ilah. Me'ilah means when you use property of the Beis HaMikdash for your own purposes and so on. But anyway, that's the end of Me'ilah. And he mentions various other examples of things which seem to be chukim. He mentions achukim hein mitzvah she'ein tamam yodua. We don't know the reason. And so on. The Yetzer Hara and the Umos Ha'olam challenge it. And nonetheless, you know, Dabar HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech tried to figure it out. Okay, it's a good thing to try and figure out. The end of Hilchos Temura, he says it more briefly, Parag Dar Alach Yud Gimel Temura 16. Afal pisha kol chukim ha'Torah gzeres hein kol shibyanam so Me'ilah. If you can figure out the reason, well, good for you. You come up with a reason. Talk, it's a good thing.
This isn't very hard to do. If you look for a reason, you're more tempted to say,
it doesn't apply,
reason,
right?
So I'm not going to do it.
Right, so that's the problem. But the Rambam doesn't, right. Rambam, it's a given that you're going to do it. It's safer.
Slippery slopes.
Yeah, it's safer to avoid it. But that's not the Rambam's view. The Rambam is telling us in both those plays, and he says again, he says that Shlomo HaMelech tried to figure out, he fell short by Paraduma. Amartech Kamo Yuchokim, and he wasn't able to do it by Paraduma. But he tried to figure it out. Yeah, but he got into trouble too. So you have to figure out the balance, so to speak. And the end of Hilchos Mikvos, the Rambam also writes, Perikid Aleph, Halacha Yudbeis, okay, Dober, Borob, Golish, Atumans, Ataros, all the laws of Tum and Tar, yeah. Right.
But if I'm just taking a guess, even if it's a very educated guess,
yeah,
I can always be wrong.
Okay.
It's in a different category because he knew 100%.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody else, or something valuable. As long as you don't know what 100%.
Yeah, you won't bend your... Right, that's also an answer. And you could also say, by the way, Mal present, and I was going to come back to it later, but then and also, there may be a difference between... Let's say, looking for the philosophical underpinnings of a mitzvah, which maybe what Rambam is talking about, as opposed to trying to derive what we might call a halacha l'maisa conclusion, and maybe it's a little bit what you're saying, as by trying to derive a practical conclusion from the fact that this is the reason behind the mitzvah. In other words, we can distinguish between looking into seeing what, you know, like, for example, the Sefer Chinuch. Okay, Sefer Chinuch presents... You know, by every mitzvah, the Torah gives what he calls Mishor Shea Mitzvah, okay, the root of the mitzvah. Although I think our Soloveitchik once said, if you're familiar with the Sefer HaChinuch, by every mitzvah, he says Mishor Shea Mitzvah, here's the root of this mitzvah. Why is it called Shor Shea Mitzvah? Why do I say Mitam HaMitzvah? The reason. So I think the Rabbi once said that Shor Shea Mitzvah means there are many roots, right? There are many different. So he says it's in one part, not the only one, may not be exactly right, may not be 100%, so maybe that, you know, that's what you're getting at. But I'm also suggesting that the Sefer Chinuch very often he explains how mitzvah this betters you as a person or it brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever his reasons are. That's understanding what we might call the philosophical underpinnings of a mitzvah. There's a difference in that, perhaps, and now that I know this mitzvah, let me derive halacha l'maaseh conclusions. So let's keep that, those two approaches in the back of your head. Okay, the Rambam says the Tum and Tara, all chukim, and so on. But again, it's a gzeres hakosav. All right, it's a good thing to you can figure it out. So I just said the next bunch of sources are really just a list of places where the Torah itself, I'll go through very quickly, because just a list, I don't know if it's an exhaustive list or not, but I came up with, a list of places where the Torah actually gives you the reason for the mitzvah. If you look at 18, the first, mitzvah gives the gidan osher, now to eat the meat and the hindquarters, the sciatic nerve, right? It says in the Torah, Ve'ishach, perek lamed beis, v'ereish, posel lamed gimel, al-kein lo yoch b'nei sos gidan osher, shal kaf arech, adem azeh, ki noga b'kaf yerech, Yaakov b'gidan osher, because Yaakov was wounded in that wrestling match with the Malach, so he got wounded, that's why he can't. The Torah gives the reason why we can't eat it. Okay, Parshas Bo, okay, Shmos, perek yud beis, 19, perek yud beis, posel chavo, v'hoi yukum alechem, b'nechem, ha'ava, dozos lachem. When your children ask, what's this all about? We talk about a Pesach. So it says, Chav Zayin, Amartam Zevach Pesach Hashem. That's why, because Kodesh Baruch Hu passed over our houses, so give a reason. Right? Here's why we have to do these things. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah. Parshas Yisro, Shmos Parachov, Pesach Chestu Yer Aleph. Zocher Soma Shabbos and Kodesh. Why do we have Shabbos? So it says in Pesach Yav, Kishesh Yis Yom HaSol HaShem Yisro Mayim HaSoret, 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 Yisro Mayim Ha right? Parshas Mishpatim, it says you're not allowed to oppress or mistreat a ger. Perkov Beis Hashem's Pasuk Chav 31. The ger lo son of Osech Hatzena. Why? Ki ger ma'isa heisam eretz Yisrael. You too. You were an oppressed people, so don't do that to somebody else. Torah is giving you the reason for it. Okay? Why you're not allowed to hold as collateral the garments of a person? We'll come back to that later. But Mishpatim again, Shmos Parchav Beis Pasuk Chav A. Im Chavol Tachbol Samas Chad Bo Hashem Estish Vanli. You have to return the item to him. Why? Ki hik Susolavak. That's all the guy has. That's his whole garment. What's he supposed to wear? So you have to return it to him. Not taking a bribe. And Parshas Mishpatim again. Shmos Parchav Gimel Pasuk Ches 23. V'shochad lo sikach. Don't take a bribe. Why? Ki ashochad yaver pikim yisalef tivrei tzedekim. Because you'll be tempted to judge. By the bribe, you'll judge in that guy's favor. So Torah is giving you reasons for all these mitzvahs. Okay, Perchov Gimel again in Shmos in Mishpatim Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Lo Yeshu ba'Artzecho. You're not allowed to have non-Jews and so on living in Eretz Yisrael except under certain conditions. Well, obviously, when we have the upper hand, it says Lo Yeshu ba'Artzecho Piachtios Chali, because they'll tempt you to do sin. Ki Savod Etzalohem, because you'll end up being influenced by them and you'll worship their gods. Again, the Torah gives you a reason. In Parshas Achrimos, it says not allowed to eat dam. Not supposed to eat blood. So it says why, right? Perek Yud Zayin, starting in Pasuk Yud. Ishish may so min agar agar b'samah she'ochal kol dam. Why not eat dam? So Pasuk says, ki nefesh ha-boser, right? The soul of the creature is in its blood. So you added blood of an animal, so it impacts you. Okay? Last week, Emo, yeah, I'm sorry. Because it came out of Mitzrayim, Veschanan, it says like that. Right. Now, hold the thought for one second. Hold the thought. But let me just finish this listing and we'll see one thing. Okay, it's a good point. Hold on. Parshas Emor last week, well, we have to treat the Kohanim with respect, right? The Kohen gets the first Aliyah and he leads the benching, whatever else. The Kiddushto, right? So that was last week said, Emor Perachav Aleph of a Yikra Pasuches. The Kiddushto, why? Ki Eslechem Alkech, Hu Makriv. Because he brings a sacrifice. That's why it's to be treated in a special way. Okay? It says not to, overreact when somebody dies, to cut yourself and else go to do it again. Kiyam Kodosh, Atal Shem Lekecha, Kodosh Baruch Hu treats you differently because you're a different kind of people. Or in Parshas Kiseitze, it tells we're not allowed to accept or marry. We have someone from Amoni or Mavi can't enter, no good to Shavuos, right? At least the men, can't marry into the Jewish fold. They can convert, but they can't marry into the Jewish fold. Because why? So it says why. Al-Dvar Shalok Kidmuz is Perkov Gimel Dvarim Pasuk Dal and Hey. Al-Dvar Shalok Kidmuz Chamalachem Amayim, because they didn't bring you food and water when you came in and survived, and they hired Bilam and Sunset. All these cases, the Torah gives you the reason. However, and now I'll come back to Bernie's question. Tshuvas HaRashbo, 30. Chelek Aleph Simen Sari Dalet. He says, Af HaMitzah Shira Mipshutei HaTamim Shenostem HaMatorah. Even those mitzvahs, like the ones we just listed, including Shabbat, okay, that the Torah gave you the reasons. Okay, shatamim haheim heim tachlis hakavana b'heima in a tachlis. We have to realize that even those places where the Torah gave you the reasons, those are not the only reasons. Okay, elatama u'emes achum nekuda mitoroseh mikavanoseh. There are many, many other things as well. We shouldn't think, even when the Torah gave us reasons, that those are the only reasons behind it. It goes back to what you said before about knowing 100% and so on. There are many other things too, but even the Rosh Bosh seems to be saying, even those mitzvahs where the Torah gives you the reason. Okay? And he says, Advarma ne'elomim haramuzim besocha. Many things are hinted. And of course, you said the midrashim with all kinds of hints and different things, you know, the significance of a mitzvah and so on. And that's what Dabra Melach quotes a pasuk and so on, that Rechava mitzvahs hama'od, the mitzvahs are very broad. There are many reasons. So, even the long list I just gave you are not exhaustive in the sense that those are not the only reasons. So then we can discuss why it would apply at different times and so on. That's a very important Shuvas Rashba, to be aware of Chelek Aleph Simen Tzari Dalet. Now, it is interesting, though, that we do sometimes have a halacha lemaisa ramification that is based upon when the Torah does give us a reason. The tour. One second. 31? Yeah. All right, that's a little bit of a side point. But okay. All right, before I get to this, I may as well just have it here. I'm sorry, I forgot. But the tour in your Yoredeisim Kuf Pei Aleph talks about not cutting, you know, the payas off your hair, not using certain types of razors and so on. That's in Kuf Pei Aleph. So he says that quotes the Rambam, says because that's the way the Goyim did it. Okay, the Rambam, the Morne Ruchim, gives a lot of different reasons. So the Goyim used to cut their, shave their hair that way, the monks or whatever, they had these bowl haircuts, whatever, cereal bowl haircuts, whatever, cutting off the payas. So that's a question whether we should accept that or not. The Torah seems to disagree with this whole Yisod of the Rambam. He says the end, look at the end of 31, the Ein onu tzvichen levakesh tamon, mitzvahs ki mitzvahs melachem alein aflo neida tamon. Seems to go against what we said in the Rambam before. Okay, that was maybe for your reason now, because the Torah said, never mind. We don't have to start looking into things. We have a mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. Why? Because I said so. How many times we said it to our kids too, right? Why? Because I said so, that's why. Okay, so that's what the Torah says. And then the Beis Yosef and the other Mefarshim kind of analyze that, and I'll leave that out. You can, you know, you're welcome to read it. I can keep these sources if you're interested. You know, and again, the priest and others make a distinction if the Torah itself gave the reason, or if they gave any reason, or we're supposed to look into it having any idea. So that's an important point, but there may be, my point being, there may be machlokas. The Rambam certainly, like we saw in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, and again in Hilchos Tumur at the end, said, no, it's good to look into, and if you can figure it out, good for you. You should figure it out. And the Torah and then others are somewhat more hesitant about that entire approach. Okay, and again, may depend, and that's how some of them Forshim explain, you know, the Rambam defends the Rambam and says, listen, you know, the Rambam, of course, believed in mitzvahs and so on. Okay, just take a look at 35, the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo, Shmos Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches. He says, L'chora nir b'pshita zeh gufa, he's talking about the Yitzis Mitzrayim, he said, why Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, gave certain mitzvahs and so on. And he says, we can ask the mitzvah like the Ben Chochem, but he says, Mikol Mokom, look 2 lines in the end of 35, Ein ze shayach li ne'ikar chiyuva shel ha'asiyah. Degam kodem sheyodea tam shel ha'mitzvah tzorach sheyuskam b'dayto ha'chiyuv la'asosah. That's exactly addressing your question now. The Beis Halevi says the given has to be, first, I am committed to this mitzvah no matter what. Then, okay, then we can look into the various details. But I started to say before, there are some mitzvahs where it's very interesting where the reasons seem to play a role, halacha l'maisa. I have three psukim by three different mitzvahs where the Torah says the word l'man, implying some sort of link between the mitzvah and the reason behind the mitzvah. So in Parshas Bo by Tefillin, Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Tes, V'hoi l'chalos, ayar chalos zikaron b'enecha, Tefillin, l'man tiya tarshim b'ficha. In Parshas Emor last week by sitting in the sukkah, Pasukas Teshu, Parak Gimel of Vayikra Pasuk Membeis, Pasukas Teshu Shivas Yomim, right? And Pasuk Mem Gimel, l'man yeidu doroseichem ki Pasukas Oshav Tiyas B'nei Yisrael, and so on. And by Tzitzis, the end of Shlach, Amir Parak Tezvav, Pasuk Lam Tezvav, Halacham Tzitzis, etc. Pasuk Mem Laman Tzitzis Karu, Basis, in those three places. So it's very interesting. The Torah in Hilchos Tzitzis in Siman Ches of Arachaim 39 says, "Look at 39. V'yechavein bisatvo shetzivanu hamokam lisatev kedei shenisgor kol mitzvosov lasosov." The Torah says, when you put on your talis or your tzitzis, you should have in mind, I'm doing this because that pasuk Laman Tzitzis is. So that's a Torah passing this way, okay? And the Bach makes a point, okay, why it says Laman, and he points out that the Torah is consistent. He says the same thing in Hilchos Tefillin, 41 Simen Samech Simen Chaf Hei. V'yichavein manachoson shetzivonu amokal aniach arba parshelu sheish ben yichud shmo and yitzanayim and so on. Right? He says you have to have that in mind. So there's a whole question now, the mitzvah tzrichas kavana, not tzrichas kavana, that's a big subject, but I'm just reading from the Torah. He said, is it ma'akeh, but the evidence, certainly lechatchila, not just having in mind kavana lotzeis, okay, I have in mind I'm putting on tefillin now, but I'm doing it for this reason, it's a chiddush. And he says it by sukkah too, in Siman Tov Reish Chof Hei Barachayim, 43, and he says, again, we have the reason Laman, therefore you should have it in mind. The Bach elaborates on that in 44. So again, in all of these cases, in these three cases, where Torah used the word Laman, the halacha seems to be, at least l'chatchila, your question about Mr. Kavana, but the l'chatchila, not only have Kavana to do the mitzvah, but you have Kavana for the reason behind the mitzvah, which is a chiddush. In fact, there's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, was a famous German posik. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shamshon von Hirsch, and a very important posik, the Sefer Oroch Haner, on many Masechtas, and the Tshuva's Bikur Yaakov, written by him. And he actually goes so far, he has a parish on Masechta Sukkah, on the Oroch Haner, and in the back he has a sort of a detailed parish on Hilchos Sukkah, printed in the back of the Bikur Yaakov. Mishabur quotes it very frequently in Hilchos Sukkah. So the Bikur Yaakov, he feels makkeh b'dievet. That's a jump. He says, if you sat in a sukkah and you did not have in mind when sitting in a sukkah, at least the first night when it's a mitzvah, that you're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had us live in sukkahs and came in the song, you're not Yotzer. That's a jump. It's a jump. But that he said, I don't know, Yaakov was a Rambaro. That's what he says. He says, even the other. I know that in my home, my kids, before Kiddush on the first night, there's a reminder, you know, that we're sitting in the sukkah, because Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and we lived in sukkahs. Okay, you don't have to go into whether it's sukkahs mamish, on our covered, whatever the other is. But again, that's based on this Torah. So here we see mitzvahs in the Torah, actually the reason has a halacha ma'aseh ramification. Yeah.
It's almost like the on
Pesach night. Yeah, I was explaining what everything's about, you know, all the time in mitzvah. Yeah. Now the question is, though, what about in the other direction? Can we say that because a mitzvah has a particular reason, that the Torah gives us a reason, and we can figure out the reason doesn't apply, can that lead us to halacha lemaaseh conclusion? So again, we saw the Tshuva Rashba before, we said even when the Torah gives us reasons, but those aren't the only reasons. The answer would seem to be no, but yeah.
What was your question?
The question is, if I could figure out that X reason doesn't apply, can I now come to the conclusion that I don't have to do this mitzvah?
No, that's,
yeah, like we said before, yeah. Yeah, an evidence.
Is it a day issue?
Or a moment's issue?
A
yeah.
Issue. Now, there you're getting into a reason.
Right, right. I don't know. Okay. Who brought this? Who brought it?
But,
Rabbi.
The thing is, you know, this
oh, right. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't see
it. Let's say it's a cup of someone goes
yeah. Well, listen, I mean, Hilchus Ribbis is in your day, right? Yeah. Not charging interest in your day, not a bunch of issues. But so, yeah, it makes a difference.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right, or is it because it's a right because it's a business arrangement? Yeah, but let's see what we have over here. So we know that the mitzvah I mentioned before, Parsha Shoftim, Dvarim Perek Yizayin, Pasuk Yizayin, a king lo yarbel anosh lo yosel levavo v'chesiv avod lo yirbel amod lo yarbel amod. Okay, so a king can't have more than X number of wives. What's X? Rashi fills in. Has 18 wives. Okay, and we'll learn out from Pesukim. Fine. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin Chof Aleph Amud Aleph 47. The mission actually lo yarbel anosh lo shmona esrim. Rabbi Yehuda, however, Omer, Marbehulo, he can have more than 18 wives. It's okay. Even though Torah says Lo Yarbe, he can have more. Ubuvad Shelo Yu Mesiris is Libo. Because the Torah gives the reason. The Torah says, we saw before, Torah says don't take too many wives because if you'll have more than X number of wives, you'll be possibly led astray. But Rabbi Yehuda feels, no, the two things that we looked at is one unit. If you're going to marry a wife who's a tzaddikus, okay, and therefore, she's not going to lead you astray. Then it's okay to ignore whatever lo yarbe means. That means 18. Fine. It's unfathomable. Anyway, but okay, you can't have more than X number of wives because they'll lead you astray, implying that if you're sure they're not going to lead you astray, then the mitzvah lo yarbe doesn't apply. Meaning, the reason at least here applies only when the reason is applicable. And if the reason not applicable, the mitzvah doesn't apply. That's what it looks like. Reb Shimon disagrees with you with it. Shimon, oh, no. Afilo achas, umas seriously bo, hare zel yisena. No. You shouldn't marry even one wife if she's going to lead you astray. Im kain loma no nema lo yarbo. So what do you need the pasuk for? What do you need lo yarbo lo shimon? If the issue is not to be led astray, don't even marry the first one. If you're not so sure she's a proper wife, what are you marrying her in the first place for? What about, forget 18. Number one. So therefore, he says lo yarbo means no more. I don't care. She Afil Kavigail. Kavigail was, you know, the wife of David HaMelech. It's Tzadikas. Doesn't matter. If you hit the number, then you can't have any more. Okay? And that's how the Rambam Paskins, Hilchos Malchim Bar Gimel HaBeis, Le'arba L'Noshim, etc. You can't have more. And if you take on more, it's no good and so on. So that's the din over there. Now, there is a... That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chof Aleph and Aleph, about kings. There is a mitzvah, Parshas Ki Seitzin, Parchav Dal Pasuk is Yud Zayin, 49. Lo Sata Mishpat Ger Yosu Nairish Lo Sachlo Beged Almona. You can't take as a collateral the beged, the garment belonging to an almona, a widow. Okay, the Mishnah of Mitzia Kuf Tes Vav and Al 50 says the Mishnah says Almona Bein She Ania Bein She Ashira. I don't care if she's wealthy, if she's poor, whatever it is. Ein mimashkenu, so you can't take her garments as a collateral for something, because it says lo sachol beged amona. Okay, it says lo sachol beged amona. Okay, now the Rambam Hilchos Mavelo per Gimel Aloch Aleph 51 Paskins almona, doesn't matter whether she's poor or rich, either way it's a Shulchan Aruch. in Chosh Mishpat Siman Sari Zayin. There's a certain Chosh Mishpat Din. So if you're dalad, we can go through this quickly. It's kind of a side point. But Amona Bein Shania Bein Shashira Ein Mashkan Shalom B'Shah Salvo. Again, the details, even a Sheikh Bezin can't do it. And if not, you have to seize it back from him. If he does, he doesn't. If not, he ignores his mitzvah. So Bezin gets involved and seizes it back from her and so on. Okay, is it only an Amona, the Sma, the Sefer Mir Sinayim, there in Chosh Mishpat Siman Sari Zayin, Sifkot in Chof Beis 53 says, it's also a Grusha. Also, not only Amona, not only a Grusha. Other Mepharshim talk about what, you know, is that true that it's a Grusha? Some discussion about it, the Tumah, the Rashash, you know, I'm not going to go into those details now. Well, only a Beged, what about her shoes? Okay, there's only a Beged. Okay, so some details about it. All right, now, Sefer HaChinuch, to move down to 58. Mitzvot Kuv Tzariyala. Sheninu Melishka Lamashkan Almonos, okay, and quotes the Pasuk. And the overall Zevichovah, Okela, Oshum Dover, he passes everything. It doesn't have to be, it could be her clothing, it could be her shoes, it could be her tablecloth, it could be the curtains, it could be anything. Okay? Shalom Shah Tzavah, Machzirno, so Bezin, Meno, Elah, Balkarchum. Bezin takes it back, no matter what. And the Minchas Chinuch there explains, even though it says Beged Amona, Chazal understood that other things as well. Okay. That is the, based on the mission in Bava Metzia. However, if you look in the Gemara, look at source 60, on that mission, Bava Metzia, Kuf Tez, Vavan Aleph, not everybody agrees to that. I showed you how we paskin, but not everyone agrees. Okay, Tana Rabbanan 60. Almana bein shehi aniya bein shehi ashira ein memashkin osa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The mission didn't say that. The mission, if you look back in source 50, right? Almana bein shehi aniya ashira bein shehi ashira ein memashkin osa. Okay, shenema lo safo beged almana. Good. However, the brisa, the Tana Rabbanan, quoted by that Gemara, that same mission, Bavatsiya Kuftas Vav Menalev, in 6, he said, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But there's a counter view. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashira Mimashkin Osa, Aniya Ein Mimashkin Osa. Okay, what's the idea? Okay, you have a woman who's a poor widow. So the assumption is the widow's poor. She has one garment, okay, a night garment, whatever, a one day garment. So if you take her garment, you're going to have to return it. Because we saw that puzzle before, what she's supposed to sleep in, right? But let's say it's a rich Amona. Her husband died and left her $10 million, so she's got a closet full of dresses. So you take this one, what's the difference? So that's the machlokas of Yehuda and Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, it says in the Torah, lo sachbo beged almana, period. I don't care if she's rich, I don't care if she's poor, she's got 500 other clothes, doesn't matter. You have to not do it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, what's the whole idea? What's the idea behind it? Rabbi Shimon says, look at the second line of 60, and that same Gemara in Bava Metzia Kufta as well. Ain Mashkin Sa Shata Chaiv Lach Sulba Tomasia Shem Rab Shkin Osa, and Rashi explains, because it'll look funny. You have to bring it back. So this is a woman living alone, and this man comes every evening and every morning to with the clothing, you know. People start to talk. What's that guy doing every morning and every evening? You know, it looks funny. And it's going to give her a bad name and give him a bad name too. So therefore, we stay away from it. But if she doesn't need it back anyways, because she's got a closet full of clothes, then it's not necessary to do that, and then you can do it. Okay? So the Gemara says, towards the end of the second line there in 60, this is Bava Metzia Kufta, the Gemara says, L'meimra, Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time of the crow. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't look into the reasons. The Torah says, lo sachbo beged almana. So that's it. And we have to start analyzing, well, maybe she's rich. I don't care if she's rich or poor. Is she an almana? Yeah, then lo sachbo beged almana. You can't take their garments as a collateral. That's the way it goes. Okay, it doesn't matter if she's rich or poor, low plug, that's the din. Because Rabbi Yehuda, Gemara assumes low darsh time of the crumb. Rabbi Shimon, however, apparently is yes darsh time of the crumb. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we look into the reason. If the reason doesn't apply, because the whole reason is that the man won't be, you know, visiting her every morning and evening, and it's not necessary because she's not going to need that article of clothing back, it's just collateral, and so she has a room full of other clothes, then it's not a problem. So Gemara says, 1 second. But we have an opposing Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph and Aleph. And I printed in 1662, it's the same Gemara. Okay, just coming out from a different angle. This is about the king, the same machlok is about the king. Okay, look, we'll stick in 60, the second, third line. Ditanya, lo yarba lo noshim, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, mar behu v'vad shalim esiris is libo. There, Rabbi Yehuda did look into the reason. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, if she's a tzadekis, like Abigail, then he can ignore, he can have more than X number of wives. He can go beyond, because the reason is the Torah is the low, you know, she won't be let, we don't want her to be led astray away from the Torah mitzvahs, but if she's a tzaddik, it's not going to be no gea. And Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, fakert. Okay, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, no, even like Avigal, you can't marry. So, the shitas are reversed. That's the question we're asking of Metzia Kufta as well, and Alan. And it's Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin comes out from the other direction. Comes out starting with the Melech issue and says the case of the Almona is a steer. In Bava Metzia, it says the case of Almona starts with the case of Almona. That's the topic. It says the case of the king is a steer. But either way, it adds up to the same thing. Okay, it adds up to the same thing, namely that it comes out that that Rabbi Yehuda seems in one place by the Almona case, right? The collateral, the Begin Almona case, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say lo darshin in time of the Korah. I say you're not allowed to take the garment of an Almona. I don't care if she's rich or poor. We don't look into that. That's irrelevant. That we stick with what the Torah says. And yet by the king, he said, well, it says she's not allowed to have more than X number. He's not allowed to have more than X number of wives. But if you can figure out that she's a tzadikah, it's not going to lead astray. So then we'll allow it. Okay, fine. But that's the contradiction. Reb Shimon contradicts it the reverse way. Because by the Beged Almona, Reb Shimon says that, Reb Shimon says, Darshin in time of the Korah, if it's a rich widow, okay, a rich divorcee, whatever, has plenty of clothing, and the whole concern of a man popping in every morning and every evening is not Nogea, because it's not going to happen because she has so many clothing. So in Mela, they don't have to worry about it. So they don't have to, that's Reb Shimon said, Darshin in time of the Korah. And yet by the Melech, he says the other way. Reb Shimon says, no, it says you can't have more than X number of wives. I don't care if she's a tzadeka, sakha, Mikhail. Okay, what's this? As a teretz is, the Gemara answers, the Olam Filan's on the bottom of 60, where the Olam Yehuda lo darsh time of the Korah. Now, Yehuda really holds lo darshin in time of the Korah. And that's like the case of the Almona. Okay, you can't look into the reason. I say, how come by the king? Because he said, this is the key point, he says, because there, shani hocha de mefarish Korah. The Pasuk gives you the reason. By the Almona, we figured out that reason. Didn't say in the Torah, don't take collateral from Almona because the man will come in the morning and the evening looks funny. That's what we figured out on our own. The Torah simply says, El Sachlo Begat Almona, period. So therefore, Yehuda says, I don't care if she's rich, I don't care if she's poor, I have to stick with what the Torah says. But when the Torah gives a reason, when the Torah says, don't take more than X number of wives because they'll lead you astray, then Yehuda says, okay, the Torah says it. So the Torah created the linkage, not me. So then you have the right to look into it. And Reb Shimon, as a general rule, says, Darshin and time of the Korah. We do look into the reason, even though the Torah didn't give us an explanation. Even though the Torah said, Lo Sach, Lo Begat Almona, didn't give us a reason, but we figured out the reason, and therefore if the reason doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply, so a wealthy Almona, you're allowed to take clothes as collateral. Okay, I, the king case, he says you have to look at the whole picture. He said, Reb Shimon, hold Darshin and time of the Korah, so what did the Pasuk have to say anything for? Pasuk, you know, just understand, you shouldn't marry any woman who's going to lead you astray. So since the Pasuk bothered to say Lo Yarba, it must mean it's finite. Even though I usually say Darshin and time of the Korah. But here, this is the Torah, the opposite. The Torah gave you a rule which you really didn't really need to say according to me. Because according to me, Darshin and time of the Korah, we're always going to look into it. We'd figure out that, you know, you can't marry a woman no matter what number it is on the list if it's going to lead him astray. Right, so that's how the Gemara works out that steer. So that's the famous Machlokes Reb Shimon with the Shin and time of the Korah. What I want to bring out is contrary to what I said before, or not contrary, but in addition to what I said before, according to the Rambam, and we saw the Torah questions it, but the Rambam says you're allowed to look into the reason behind mitzvahs. But the Rambam didn't say, and therefore, one way or the other, therefore you can come to the conclusion that the mitzvah does or doesn't apply. So I think the Rambam was talking about the philosophical underpinnings of the mitzvah. You know, the inner reasons behind the mitzvah. This machlokas is about, shall we say, the functionality or the practical end, not the philosophical end, the practical end of the mitzvah. This machlokas, Reb Shimon, whether darshin and time of the Korah or not, is not whether you can look into the, it could be there, Yehuda would also agree, you can look into the reasons, go ahead, but it can't lead you to any conclusion. The machlokas, Reb Shimon, is can my understanding of a reason behind the mitzvah, can that play a role in its halacha lemaisa applicability? In other words, we can spend hours, the Rambam does, in the Morning of Uchim, giving you logic and reasons behind every mitzvah. We can analyze it, and Rosh Albo and others give different. You know, all the philosophical works, they're important. We can look into the reasons behind them, but it's got nothing to do with my observing the mitzvah. This Machlokes Reb Shimon is a Darshin and time of the Korah from the perspective of the reason impacting its observance. So the truth is, you know, the question now becomes, so is this everywhere? And every time the Torah gives a reason, or every time we figure out a reason, is it subject to the Machlokes Reb Shimon? Do we have to, in each case, look into it? So, you hear what I'm asking? Should we look at every time? You know, and the Gemara doesn't do that, is my point. The Gemara does not go through all the places and say, well, here, the Torah gives a reason. We don't find that in the Gemara. We had a couple of examples by the Beged Almona, as opposed to the king in that case, and so on. But, for example, Tosus is a Tosus in Gittin. Okay, Daf Mem Tesim Beis. Rav Shimon, he didarish time of the Korah. Lo pligi ala hechadika nafkusa. The only machlokas of Rav Shimon is there a nafkamina la halacha whether, you know, it's not a theoretical machlokas. Is there enough gemina la halacha whether this mitzvah applies or not? Okay. Well, let's say, for example, I mentioned before, we don't allow Ammoni and Moab to marry in. The Torah gave me the reason. Okay, but the fact that they didn't give us food and water, they hired Bilam. So there's no machlokas there because there's no practical lafkamina that emerges based on the reason. The only machlokas, when there's a practical reason, emerges from the machlokas. Okay? On the other hand, it's interesting, we have a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Mem Vav Med Beis, okay, source 65. The Gemara there has a machlokas about kvura. Kvura. Okay, why is there a mitzvah to bury? So the Gemara has a machlokas, is mishum bizyonahu, because it's embarrassing, you leave a dead body and so on, it's bizyonah, or mishum kapara, because you need, for whatever the reason, you need kapara, that's what is burial. And the Gemara says, nafkamina, because what if the person don't bury me. Do you have to listen or not? So it depends. If it's bizyonus, the guy can be mochel on his own bizyonus. Okay, but if it's for kapara, he came mochel on kapara and so on. Okay, that's the Gemara. But wait a minute. The Torah didn't give either reason. The Torah just said kavar tikvareno. The Torah didn't give real. The Gemara has a machlokas, so should that be subject to the machlokas of Yehudim Shimon? Here there is a nafkamina. Even though the Torah didn't give the reason, there is a nafkamina. So the Mordechai, in a different context, mentions something else. Okay? The Mordechai in Paragah Gozel and Baba Kama, Remez Kuf Lam and Ches, in source 67, he tells you by the din of Motiv Mixus. Okay? Motiv Mixus is the following thing. You claim that I owe you $1,000, and I am owed a potter. I said, I know I only owe you $500. So then I have to take a shur. I take an oath that I don't owe you more than $500. Okay? Then it's a din, but if I'm kofra, if I owe you nothing, they don't have to take a shur. What? Okay, that's counterintuitive. I admit parts, I got to take a shur, but I deny everything, I don't have to take a shur. So the Mordechai explains that when something is counterintuitive, okay, that's another area where maybe we have to look into the reason behind the mitzvah when something seems to be counterintuitive. So that's another area. If something's counterintuitive, it's a different story. I'll just end off the last couple of sources, raise an interesting question too. The Gemara has in Bometzia Daf Tzadi Amad Aleph regarding Tsar Balei Chaim. So we know you're not supposed to muzzle an animal, right? When it's plowing, when it's working in the field, you don't muzzle the animal because you have to let it eat the grass, right? That's the din of Torah, Sachsam Sor B'disha. The Gemara wonders, one second, what if I know that it's bad for the animal? The animal's got an upset stomach, and I know if the animal's going to graze in the field, it's going to get sick. The animal doesn't understand it, but I understand it. Am I allowed to muzzle him then? Right? Does that subject to machlokes with Rabbi Shimon? Because, again, the Torah doesn't give the reason, but it seems that it's not subject. And the Gemara said, matrez, it's not going to throw up, it's going to be sick, and so on and so forth. So in that situation, one could argue there too, when it's so obvious, obviously they're supposed to let the animal graze because it's not fair to the animal to make him eat, work in the field without eating. But if you know that it's going to be so obvious, that's what the Tosfos Rosh says, that Bometzia Tzadim Aleph says, that's another example of a case where the Machlokes Yehudim Shimon wouldn't apply. In any event, this is just a little bit of an insight into the reason, rationale behind mitzvahs. Chukim, we don't have the reason that we have. We started with Chukosai. I'll just end off with the statement of Sefer Chinuch in 73, in his introductions. He writes, Daiti lichtav al kol achas remez echad mishor shem mitzvah. All I want to do is give one hint what the shor shem mitzvah are. Hanigla b'kozvah, I feel, can learn that from the psukim. But we shouldn't think, and any choshev v'gozel agia el emes al kol ponim. I'm not acknowledging that I necessarily discover the truth in everything. So again, there's a reason to say, Darshin and time of the craw, we can look into philosophical underpinnings. We may or may not get it right, but as far as whether it can impact your halacha lemaaseh observance of the mitzvah, so that may depend on machlokas of Yehudim Shimon in certain cases. And then we saw some cases where actually the halacha, at least the way the Torah and the post can note, when the Torah says leman, it gives you a reason. It's actually something you have to have in mind when you perform the mitzvah. Okay, just an overview, but a little insight into the subject. Have a good evening.
Mr. Taya, thank you, Rabbi. Okay.